you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our thoughts be acceptable to you. For you indeed are the one who sustains us and saves us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. One of the changes that came with the rise to power of Oliver Cromwell in the 17th century England was the nation's coinage. New coins were struck with the engraving "God with us" on one side, and on the reverse, "The Republic of England." And one old nobleman, a royalist and anti-Puritan to the core, saw the coins and commented, "Quite proper that God and Republic should be on different sides." One of the hallmarks of our Constitution is that of separation of church and state. This is enshrined in the First Amendment, which reads, the very first sentence, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." And what is interesting is that there are people who do not see the separation of church and state in that amendment. Political blogger for Detroit News, Dale Hansen, writes, "I wrote an article examining the concerns of conservative Christians over Tennessee schools teaching the five pillars of Islam." Now imagine that the thought for teaching them was that you fear what you don't understand, and therefore by teaching the five pillars, they believe that they would take away some of that fear. Hansen goes on to say, "While there were a number of topics that readers could have discussed, by far the outrage centered on my statements regarding the separation of church and state. Comments included, clearly someone hasn't read the Constitution because there's no such thing as separation of church and state in the U.S. Constitution. Where exactly in the U.S. Constitution does it address separation of church and state? And, simply put, nowhere in the First Amendment does the phrase separation of church and state exist." There are many people in our country who believe that if we did not have the First Amendment, that our country would be in better shape. That we would all be governed by the rules of Christianity since we are a Christian nation. Therefore, we should join our politics and our religion so that our country will be blessed by God. And my friends, that is what dominionism is all about. Dominionism is the theocratic idea that regardless of theological camp, means, or timetable, God has called conservative Christians to exercise dominion over society by taking control of political and cultural institutions. The term describes a broad tendency across a wide swath of American Christianity. People who embrace this idea are referred to as dominionists. This thinking came to power, prominence, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. In the thinking and the work of the likes of Reverend Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority. But is this idea true? Is that what we're supposed to be about? Creating a Christian dominion? Or did Jesus espouse something different? If we look through the Gospels, we find a lot of evidence that he did not believe this. First of all, it's widely accepted that Jesus was not about starting not even a Christian nation, not even a Christian religion. He was trying to reform Judaism. It was several hundred years later that Christianity became a religion on its own. Second, Jesus had respect for people of other faiths. Remember the Roman centurion who asked that Jesus heal his servant, a beloved member of his household? The Roman centurion who worshipped the Roman gods? Didn't Jesus heal and talk with the Samaritan woman, which was considered a different religion in the time of Jesus? Jesus did not live by a faith or live a faith that separated people, that sought to denigrate people or force them into the belief that he had. Today in our passage from Luke, Jesus is nailed to the cross. And against all laws adhered to by the Jewish priests, Jesus, in essence, forgives and blesses the criminal, which is blasphemy to the Roman Jewish or to the Jewish authorities, because only God could forgive. Jesus forgives and blesses the criminal, saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise." You see, for Jesus, it's about relationships and grace. It's not about power or security or the perfect society. That comes later. We are a society of imperfect human beings. We are not capable of creating the perfect society, but we are we are to be about that and work towards that, but we are never going to do it ourselves. Today, on this Reign of Christ Sunday, which was instituted by Pope Pius XI in 1925, many would suggest that it means Reign of Christ Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, means that we should be dominionists. Because Christ was deemed by many to be the King of Kings. I mean, we even named a movie after that. And yet he avoided the idea of being a king. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 15, we hear these words. When Jesus realized they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Not going to let that happen. It's so easy to think that dominionism is the answer to the ills of our country. However, think about it. Which understanding of Christianity would be enshrined? There are so many versions of Christianity in our country. All you have to do is look at the number of different churches and denominations that exist, and the different belief systems that exist. And I'm not even talking about Muslims and Jews or anything like that. I'm just talking within the Christian religion. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not about power. It's about getting along with others as human beings. It's about offering grace and forgiveness. There is nothing wrong with a person seeking public office to do so out of their faith stance. That's fine. But they cannot be allowed to let that become the norm for everybody else. It's very interesting. This past week, the Bible study finished the study of Elaine Pagel's book on the book of Revelation. It's a book that looks at the history of the book and how it became a part of the New Testament canon, or the acceptable books of the New Testament. Bishop Athanasius of Alexandria lived around in the time of 296 to 373. And he used the book of Revelation not to fight Rome, to fight other Christians, the heretics. Heretics were any who would not subscribe to his understanding of the Nicene Creed and or read religious texts that had not been approved by him. He brought all of those who disagreed into the priesthood under his authority by slowly taking over their monasteries and their leaders and forcing them to come in and join him. And he's, by doing that, he bent the church to his understanding of what the church was to be. He was helped in this too by the Roman emperors, especially Constantine, who forced people to follow these creeds. And what it did was it created a muscular church. A muscular church that would not allow deviation or free thinking on the part of any priest or common person. And that existed through the Reformation. Books were banned and burned that were not allowed to be read. The famous Nag Hammadi find of books in 1945 from the Upper Egypt area was a collection of books in a 6-foot-tall earthenware jar that had been banned by the church in the 300s. They were banned because the church powers saw them as evil and works of Satan. You know, if you want to turn people against someone, just label that, demonize that other person. And that's what they did. Paul writes to the church at Colossae, "For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things, to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross." By making peace through the blood of the cross. Peace through love. Not political power. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a muscular gospel. It is not a gospel of political power. It is not a dominionist gospel. It is a gospel of servanthood, a gospel of reconciliation that is predicated on love and respect for all life, for all people. You may wonder where the term dominion came from. It actually comes from the very first book of the Bible, in the first account of creation, where we read, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And those words have been taken to heart by the dominionists. But you notice, this is the account of creation. And the only people that exist are Adam and Eve, if you believe the story. Everything else are animals and plant life. So there was no human being for them to have dominion over. Dominion used in that passage means being good stewards of every living thing that exists on the planet. While there are many today who espouse a belief in dominionism, In our country today, the gospel of Jesus Christ does not call for it, nor desires it. Jesus did not let the people make him king because they did not understand his mission. If Jesus does not want to be king or to lead the politics of the people, why should anyone today or at any time want to do that? Are we not supposed to follow the example of our Lord? This Thursday, we will gather with friends and family in our homes to give thanks. We will gather in remembrance of the pilgrims, the first people we have after the Native Americans to come to our shores. Pilgrims who came to our country seeking religious freedom. And our country was founded on that idea. Is it any wonder that it is enshrined in the very First Amendment in the very first sentence? It's one of the key reasons that our country is already great. And we must not let the Dominionists win. Amen.